right, here we come around the bend. Do I hear an old wooden wagon? Oh, and here comes Mike. Mike Lewis is in the wagon. Oh, hey there, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Sitting next to Patrick the horse.
In my child safety seat. You just wait for me to talk so you could make that.
Yes. The cornucopia of noise.
It is a cornucopia of noise.
It is, what was that? How did the teacher describe essays that are not graded correctly? What did she call it?
Vapid drivel.
Yes.
Vapid drivel.
Vapid drivel. We got one more hour of it. Stick with
we
us.
Specialize
everybody.
In that.
Hey, by the way, does the eagle poop today?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right. Look at Andrew looking around. You don't know that term?
That one I'm unfamiliar
you
with.
You youngins. Jacob doesn't know it. Andrew, do you know the term?
No.
Eagle poop today? Ursula.
Never heard it.
Wow. Look at this. This is about you and me, Mike. What do you
think
about
that? I actually hadn't heard it either. I was just bluffing.
Seriously?
Seriously.
All right. 989-73. You wait and see. The people that listen to the show, the working men and women that make America the greatest country in the world, they know exactly what that expression means.
I'm thinking
means.
It's East Coast. It's an East Coast thing.
There's nothing wrong with the East Coast. That's where this country started. The 13 of us. 13
of
colonies.
Us.
13 colonies. Then we spread west, and then we taught you what eagle pooping today means. Let's see. Donald Trump. There's only one thing that makes less sense than me. That's Donald Trump in Montana. We'll get to that in a second. But Trump outlined what he wants to do if he ever had to debate Senator Elizabeth Warren. He says,
now even the liberals are saying, take a test. Take a test.
The test, he wants, is Elizabeth Warren to prove that she actually has Cherokee or Delaware blood in her veins. A statement that she had made in the 80s at some point, the charge against her is that she said, hey, I'm Native American, and then she applied to two different colleges to teach law, and it finds out that she already gotten the job, and then she happened to mention it. So she already had the job. She didn't do it in order to try to get a box checked. I think it was at Harvard and then University of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And then once she checked that box, then the university just sort of passed on the information to the next university. And I think Harvard was trying to show, oh, we have a diverse academic faculty. Look at this. We've got a Native American. So that's where the whole thing got started. So that's what he's talking about. Here we go.
You know, I shouldn't tell you because I like not to give away secrets. But this one. Let's say I'm debating Pocahontas, right?
Okay. How would that come about? Okay, it's just hypothetical. He's riffing at this point.
Right, yeah.
By the way, there is no evidence.
Actually, not at this point. For the last, 3 years, he's riffing.
By the way, there is no statistical, no scientific evidence that she has any Native American blood in her system. But here we go.
I promise you I'll do this. I will take, you know those little kits they sell on television for $2? Learn your heritage. Guy says, I was born in Scotland. It turns out he was born in Puerto Rico, and that's okay. It's good. You know. Guy says, I was born in Germany. Well, he wasn't born in Germany. He was born someplace else. I'm going to get one of those little...
Doesn't tell you where you were born. You know where you were born.
Well, wait, not only that...
Hold on, the guy thought he was born in Scotland. He was born in Puerto Rico.
Born in Puerto Rico, and that was the punchline. You hear people like, yuck, 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 and they're just laughing it up. Like, who would be crazy enough to be born in Puerto Rico?
How do you confuse the two?
I don't know.
All right, here we go.
Yes. And in the middle of the debate, when she proclaims that she's of Indian heritage because her mother said she has high cheekbones. That's her only evidence, that her mother said she had high cheekbones. We will take that little kit and say, but we have to do it gently. Because we're in the Me Too generation, so we have to be very gentle. And we will very gently take that kit. And we will slowly toss it, hoping it doesn't hit her and injure her arm, even though it only weighs probably 2 ounces.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have 11 more seconds of this. Should I play it?
No.
Yes.
No.
You give me $5 and I won't play it.
I would rather, and I'm not sure, I'm not trying to tip anyone's any hand on the know-it-all quiz,
yeah.
But I would rather listen to that kid. Recite the names of every country, then listen to the rest of it.
There's 11 more seconds.
All right.
It's all going to make sense.
Hang on.
Now it's 2 ounces. He's going to throw it in the air, but he's going to be very gentle because of the whole hashtag MeToo movement, and he's going to try not to hit her arm. Okay.
Right. And we will say, I will give you $1 million to your favorite charity, paid for by Trump, if you take the test and it shows you're an Indian, you know.
I voted for the guy. 63 million of us can't be wrong. by the way, did you? Where's the part? Is this the part about Elton John?
Yeah.
Not beating up on him. Just it's interesting that his polling numbers keep going up.
You know, we turned away thousands of people. They never say I'm a great speaker. Why the hell do so many people come?
By the way, have you heard this yet?
The Elton John thing?
Yeah, have you heard
it? I heard your recitation of it earlier.
Okay, you will try to explain this to us. There's a minute 12, and then on the backside of this, you'll try to make sense of it. You ready? Here we go.
Okay.
I don't think it's true. Why did they come? Why?
He turns back to the crowd now.
Why, oh, why do they come? Got to be something. I guess they like my policy. Maybe you like policy. I mean, there's got to be a reason. I have broken more Elton John records. He seems to have a lot of records. And we beat, and I, by the way, I don't have a musical instrument. I don't have a guitar or an organ.
The only thing I can imagine is people in the crowd were yelling something like, say something that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Or candle in the wind.
Okay.
No organ. Elton has an organ. And lots of other people helping. No, we've broken a lot of records. We've broken virtually every record because, you know, look, I only need this space. They need much more room. For basketball, for hockey, for all the sports, they need a lot of room. We don't need it. We have people in that space. So we break all these records.
This is not edited. This is these words.
Records, I'm assuming he means records for attendance at an event. Not unlike, say, the inauguration.
Not like an album.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But really, we do it without, like, the musical instruments. This is the only musical, the mouth. And hopefully the brain attached to the mouth, right? The brain, more important than the mouth, is the brain. The brain is much more important.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Is that it?
That's
Are we
it,
done?
That's all, yeah.
All right. So I would agree
okay.
on the importance of the brain.
All right, good.
I'm a big fan of the brain.
Yes.
The mouth as an organ that is a record breaker,
mm-hmm.
I think, applies in certain specific situations.
Good, good.
I'm in largely in agreement with him. I don't know about the records being broken because I don't know what records he's referring to.
Good.
But, you know.
The only thing I could think is the media, which hates him, has taken this out of context. I think prior in the speech, he was something talking about Elton John because news did break yesterday that when he met with Kim Jong-un, of North Korea, he gave him an Elton John song, gave him the album that has Rocket Man on it.
Okay.
So maybe he was talking about Elton John, talking about the number of records that Elton John has sold and Rocket Man. And so it's a callback. It's like coming in the middle of a George Carlin act. He does a callback. You take it out of context. He just seems like a crazy guy. So moving on, because we got a lot of Trump supporters. If the Sonics were to return here, let's hope the NBA is different than in the current version, a story from the Seattle Times. Do you believe on a scale of 1 to 10, most likely, 10 being most likely, that the Sonics or professional basketball will come back to Seattle?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we're obviously going to be getting hockey, or that appears to be obvious at this point. But are we going to get basketball? I don't think that the league is going to be in a position to expand. They've said that they will, but I think that the economic reality is starting to turn for the league, which will mean immediately that so it would be a matter of another team moving here. And there's not really a team that is ripe right now for moving. Sacramento was one, obviously. They got a new arena.
Yep.
Milwaukee has new ownership, unlikely to move. Memphis, maybe, but that's talked about all the time. It never seems to materialize. So then who is actually going to end up in Seattle? I think it's a little bit unlikely that in the short term that we will be getting an NBA team.
Mm. And didn't you also point out that the numbers, or who was it, the article, that maybe the Sports Illustrated?
Seattle Times was talking today. Matt Calkins, one of their, and he was writing sort of a provocative thing like, yeah, I would love to have NBA. I'm a big NBA fan, but the game needs to change. And this is again, and I like it actually, generally, I kind of like his columns and I like the fact that he tries to sort of poke the bear all the time. But if you were to actually look at his numbers, say, you know, the odds, the good teams tend to win too much, essentially, mm-hmm. and that's not good for sport. But it turns out that actually, if you look at NBA ratings numbers, they're phenomenal.
Right.
And internationally, I actually happened to watch two of the Warriors exhibition games in China this year in October.
Did you go all the way to China for the game?
I went all the way. My buddy was one of the sponsors and invited me to come along the trip. It was really interesting. and the spectacular interest in NBA in China. It's or everyone knows this, yeah. But you go to a town like Shanghai, and everyone's wearing Warriors jersey. I'm not sure that when you get a dominant team, and he was referencing the Golden State Warriors being such a dominant team.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually, ratings went up when the Bulls were dominant. Ratings went up when both the Lakers and Celtics were dominant. Ratings went up when the Warriors are dominant. I mean,
easier to keep track.
You actually don't find that the game is worse as a result. The game is actually better then. And so I don't know that I necessarily agree with his point there. I mean, yeah, so the gamblers are more effective, I guess, was one of the points, or that, you know, the odds are that because they don't play a single game like in mm-hmm. football, you generally the better teams win out. I'm not sure I find that a problem with sports.
Yeah, but when the good teams come to town,
you can't get seats.
You can't get seats, right.
It's $7,000 courtside for a midseason Warriors game in Dallas. That is not necessarily something that the league is trying to prevent.
That is what we paid courtside for the Trailblazers.
Really? $7,000?
$4,700.
Wow.
It was a birthday present, and it was a special gift coming from my father's estate to my son. But
right.
And Steph Curry had hurt his ankle the night before and didn't even travel with the team.
Oh.
I know. We're like, oh, crap.
But isn't your son a
Trailblazer fan through and through?
I thought he was a big LeBron James fan.
Loves LeBron James and said to me still again the other day, Dad, even though he's been traded to L.A., which now they'll play the Trailblazers,
right.
Which Ry wants to go to one of those games. I said, hey, you still feel about what you feel about LeBron James and myself comparing the two of us? He goes, oh, are you referring to the fact that I would give you up as my father in an instant if LeBron James wanted to adopt me? Yes. And I said, is that a money thing? He goes, no, well, it's partly money. It's just character and just overall cool factor.
Yeah. I would say that's probably true.
And
I would
like,
do the same.
You're just weird, Dad. But that's the way kids think of their parents, right?
Right.
It's not me. A promotional video for a service is providing in Finland that you can get a free ride. You get a free ride in a cab to a music festival if you agree to do this the entire time. Do what, Mike?
Not off.
No.
Play the harmonica.
Sing. What you can hear, because they cut it just in time, was the driver throwing himself out of the car.
Exactly.
And then the car careening off the highway just down into a ravine.
Essentially, why the ride was free is because everyone burned to death in the fiery crash.
Can you imagine being one of those drivers?
No.
And the rule is, the ride is free if you sing the entire time.
No. I can't imagine. I can't imagine doing it without noise cancellation headphones on at the very least.
Soccer has a new pantomime. It's the ability. You used to do this. So players would hold their hand in the air and shake back and forth like they were holding a card, of course, a yellow card or a red card, to indicate that another player had fouled them. And now they've added a new move, and it's getting lots of attention. Have you seen the new pantomime move, Mike?
Yes, it is. It is essentially making a big outline, the outline of a square.
Yes.
And the square meaning that is the actual official referee symbol for replay, that we are going to take a replay look, something new to soccer. Soccer is always committed to the 18th century, finally has decided to start using replays. And so the players now will pantomime that gesture no different than in the NFL or the NBA when they, you know, mimic the traveling gesture or whatever when they feel that a penalty was not called. So now they've started doing that.
But the NFL doesn't do the thing where the guy's acting like he's going under the hood. That would be a good move, like lift up like he's going yeah. under the hood.
That would actually be kind of a good one.
Yeah, like
I completely
one.
Agree.
What's he doing?
Yeah.
Like, is he throwing water on his head? No, he's pantomiming go under the hood. This is a crazy fun article. The New York Times, even if you don't like soccer, and the only thing you know about soccer
it's
or hate
totally
about soccer.
It's totally worth reading. It's a funny one.
Is the fact that the players have gotten really good at the art of the deception that they have been injured. So how they throw themselves onto the pitch and then writhe in pain, and the part of the body that they're grabbing and the facial expressions, they decided they would bring an expert in to be able to determine how good they are at this.
A CSI acting coach.
Yes.
You know, they brought it and they actually sat with him and watched players doing this. And the article is pretty funny because he says, well, while they're enthusiastic, he said they're fully committed, which is an important part
of
acting.
Important.
But they're overselling it. they're essentially, you know, doing soap opera grade melodrama that makes people less inclined to believe, especially when they pop up 15 seconds later, completely uninjured, running full speed.
The rule of acting when it comes to something like this, let's say, for instance, playing drunk, you never play drunk. You play the opposite. You play someone trying to be sober, because most drunk people, hey, what are you doing? That's not, you play the opposite, because the person's always trying to hide their drunkenness. So what I would recommend for anybody that wants to fake this, you have to play it on two levels. It's, yes, you're hurt, but you're trying to get up.
Right.
Yes, you've been injured badly, but you're trying to fight back against the pain.
Right.
So fall onto the ground to get the attention, but then get up and then start hobbling around like an antelope with a bad ankle. And then fall back onto the ground again. Make it look like you're attempting to overcome the pain.
You may have a shot at a side career here, in addition to your other side careers.
Yes.
Maybe going out and coaching, doing some acting coaching for the players to show them, like, here is a realistic depiction of an injury that didn't happen,
right. Now,
as opposed to an unrealistic depiction of an injury that didn't happen.
Yeah, we'd all start with, like, mirror exercise, and then we would do different other exercises as well. We'd do some improv. Hey, yell out a profession.
But it happens in every – I mean, soccer gets rightfully – widely criticized. I find it the thing I like the least about the sport is the histrionics that they go through when someone comes anywhere near them. But remember, there was that famous footage of everyone's favorite baseball player, the guy who plays the right way, Derek Jeter, getting completely missed by a pitch and writhing like he got hit on the elbow and taking his base, and they go back and it missed him by a good 2 inches. Didn't even touch him.
Did it?
And he sold, but he sold it.
He sold it.
He sold it to the ump, and then managed to grab a base out of it.
You get a chance to sell that. You've been listening to the show all week. 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. These are not just random numbers. These are the numbers that ring the phone that sits next to Andrew there in the other room, and you get a chance to get on the air to play the Know It All Quiz, brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. 1-888-973-5476. You'll win $75 gift certificate at John Howie's 10 Barrel Craft Brewery, featuring Scratch Casual Comfort Food. It's, of course, the Beardsley Public House in Bothell. All right, here we go. Best part of the week, because it symbolizes the end of the week and the end of the show for the week. Brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. That's right. It's a know-it-all quiz. We ask one listener to call in, and then we test them to make sure, because we're not up here for our health, obviously. If you've seen it, Tom without his shirt on. It's important that we give you this information, and you don't just hear it, but you learn it. Learn it, and then it becomes something that we quiz on. And I think it's a fair exchange.
And it becomes interesting dinner conversation for you later in the day.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. You'll find yourself to be more popular. And especially if you get yourself a $75 gift card to Beardsley Public House, you'll be even that much more popular. Let's meet our contestant now. His name is Lance. He's 60 years old. And he lives in Woodinville. He's a photographer and a poet and a member of the Arms Collectors Club. He celebrated his 40th wedding anniversary. Welcome to the show, Lance.
Yeah, hi there, John.
Well, hi there, Lance. I recognize this voice of yours. I think you've won before.
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
I've been on, it's been about a year.
Yeah, that's about right. Well, listen, now we've added some new element to this, Lance, so you're appearing also on Facebook Live. People are watching us.
Well, your disembodied voice is on Facebook Live.
I'm watching right now, and I'm not actually live. You have like a 10 or 15 second delay on it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Lance. Appreciate that. That's really nice. Great. Thank you, Lance. Thank you. Anything else you want to point out?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. By the way, let's ask Mike.
Yes,
you can't see him, but he's in the corner with all the enthusiasm of a traffic flagger. How many people are watching, Mike? 15.
Different mic, not this mic.
No, different. My God. I was so sorry. By the way, Lance, Mike, who runs the camera for Facebook Live, works over at MyNorthwest.com, he comes in here with like he's carrying 400 pounds of horse crap in a big bag over his shoulder. You see the enthusiasm that he walks in here with? Yes, Lance.
You know, I see him setting up once in a while. I watch you guys all the time.
Good, okay. Well, so you're watching both on Facebook Live, and then you're also watching the in-studio camera?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Wow.
When was the last time you left the house, Lance? What year? Just give us a ballpark figure.
You know, you you asked me a similar question the last time I was on.
I don't know that I'd go mocking anyone who's a member of the Washington Arms Collectors Club.
But he's also a poet.
Well, fair enough.
So it's a balance. And
so he can write your epitaph after he kills you.
I think the most uncomfortable part of having you on last year, although this is getting close to it, is when I asked you for a poem. Didn't I ask you to do a poem? Yes.
I have one.
Okay.
Have one.
Is it long?
Okay. No, it's only
haiku
it's only
or shorter.
19. It's sort of like what do they call it? A Twitter kind of poem.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
So it's only, through this sad charade, toxic winds, lasting vapors, lead me where you may.
Yes. Yes. There you are.
That's it.
That's it.
I can tell. Lance, you ready? I like it. Here we go. Tone and tenor of everything we established, we call it a friendship. It's lasted more than a year. Congratulations on your last victory, Lance. Here we go. Laying it all on the line. Yeah. Hopefully we're listening on 4th of July because we told a long rambling story. I did anyway, and Mike Lewis was kind enough to act like he was paying attention. Talking about John Denver was on a television show that I was doing in Washington, D.C. Why did John Denver get mad at me on television, live TV, Mike?
A, John went on and on about the inherent dangers of experimental aircraft. B, John misconstrued one of John Denver's more obscure tunes, and when John sang the wrong word, the Grammy Award-winning Denver went ballistic. Or C, according to the transcripts from the ensuing trial, at numerous points during the interview, Mr. Curley continually remarked how surprisingly small Mr. Denver was. The defendant picked up Mr. Denver and spun him around over his head while singing Rocky Mountain High over and over again.
Those are all very good, but I'm going to go with number one because that's how the guy died.
Okay. So a little foreshadowing. So I was there talking about how dangerous these things are. He got mad and then later on was decapitated. That's what you're thinking happened?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay. The answer is what, Mike?
It's not.
Correct.
The answer is actually B.
Yeah.
John misconstrued one of John Denver's more obscure tunes, and when John sang the wrong word, the Grammy Award-winning Denver went ballistic. That is entirely true.
At this point, how many does Lance have correct, Mike?
None at this point.
New research shows that men with testosterone tend to do more of this with luxury items. What's that, Mike?
A, rub them with their genitalia. B, buy them. C, mock anyone that has them by constantly comparing their libido to their own.
Well, I'm going to stay away from number one.
Good.
Okay, number A.
Yeah.
So, but I'll try B because that's the simplest answer, I think.
There you go.
All right.
Just like in the show Jeopardy, you don't need to explain your answers, Lance. Just ripping right through it for the poor 17 shut-ins that are watching this on Facebook. Even they would appreciate it. Here we go. ChatterBaby is a new app that allows anxious parents to understand what their baby needs. How does it work, Mike?
A, the app turns on a microphonic device that then records 5 seconds of the baby's crying. Through a complex algorithm, the sounds made by the infants are converted to 3 to 4 possible reasons for the cry. The parents then read the output and respond accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, upon hearing the child cry, the app turns on and immediately begins flashing photographs of the parent's face, looking concerned and empathetic. The parents are instructed to turn the phone toward the distressed child. The infant will gaze at the screen and eventually calm down. Or C, the app immediately connects with other screaming babies around the world, and the parents can share live videos of their children crying out in pain.
Do we have a chance to go over number one again? Or
that's correct.
Good
guess, Lance. A woman in Boston fell between the subway platform and the train, badly damaging her leg. In deep sobs and wails, in between deep sobs and wails, what did the woman say she did not want?
A, that she did not want an ambulance. Mm-hmm. B, that she did not want any help. Just, quote, leave me here. I'm nothing but a burden. You should go on and live your life. I'm fine. What's a little skin off my leg? Mrs. Rosenberg's children could not be reached for comment. Or C, she did not want the Chinese menu a middle-aged man aggressively was handing out on the subway platform.
Well, I'm going to stay away from C, but I'm going to, my guess is B.
Really? That it was like an older Jewish woman who said, no, just leave me here. I'm fine. I'm too much of a burden. Just go on with your life. You'll be all right. All right, Lance, I'll give it to you. Five, here we go. A famous Seattle parking garage known as the Sinking Ship was recently recognized as one of the world's what, Mike?
A, one of the world's coolest parking lots. B, best place to have someone door ding you because of awkward angles in the parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, the world's best parking lot for drivers that need to relieve themselves or meet someone else that is in the act of relieving themselves.
Definitely C.
All right. Actually, that's a trick question because it would work for all three of those, all above.
Really?
But it won for one of the world's coolest parking lots. Hey, Lance.
Where is this at? Yeah.
That's in Seattle. You have to leave the house
on the edge of Pioneer Square on Yesler.
Now, listen.
I'll Google it.
You don't need to leave the house. You just sit there with your poems and your arms. Hey, by the way, you will have to leave the house in order to be able to redeem a gift certificate worth $75.
Yeah.
Or you could sell it on Craigslist. It's the Beardsley Public House and Brewery there in Bothell. John Howie always puts together a wonderful meal for you. 10-barrel craft brewery featuring scratch casual comfort food. It is can be found at the Beardsley Public House. Lance, big plans for the weekend?
I'm going to use that coupon. That was the last gift that I got from you guys.
Was the coupon?
Yeah, for $75 over the Beardsley Public House.
And how did that?
You got $150 now. You can live it up down there.
How did that go? Did you spend it yet?
Actually, we oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
we went and had fish and chips, you know,
yeah.
And you know, even if at happy hour, it's expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have an appetizer, like maybe a salad or a starter of some sort, maybe some fried mozzarella or something like that?
One of their beers.
A beer, you know, yeah.
An IPA.
An IPA. You like the IPAs better than like a light beer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Any dessert? I know they have a great variety of dessert there. Did you get dessert?
No
yourself?
Dessert.
No dessert. Watching your figure?
No dessert.
Yeah.
Not on $75.
No, yeah. Huh.
Well, I guess we'll be giving you another one of these next year.
Hey, Lance.
Lance. You guys are awesome.
You're a delight. You are a delight.
Oh, baby!
Yeah, we'll come right back. Thank you, Lance. Stay on the phone for another 4 hours when Jacob gets there to give you the details.
I
all
understand.
Right. All right, bye-bye. Bye, everybody. Oh, they like it when we throw papers in the air. Throw papers. Mike, they like this. Oh, throw them in the air. Here we go, Doug's Linwood Mazda. Thanks for sponsoring this portion of the show. Get yourself a car at Doug's Linwood Mazda like the mailman does. And he drives around and delivers our letters. Here he comes down.
Holy catfish!
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman.
Don't
nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Hello, teeny tiny lady. Hello.
Hello.
So you can tell us about the letter of the day. Let's get started now, Mike.
On Scott Pruitt from area code 253, Scott Pruitt resigned the EPA amid scandal, but at least he didn't poison an entire river or city like Flint, Michigan. Obama's EPA did that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that was the Flint leaders.
John's bet. Tucker Scott says, I'll take the bet. And Stu in Burbank says, you win, John. And here the homeless guy was a man from Nantucket.
And on poop doping from Dell and Linwood, what would Friday be without a disgusting way to improve bike racing?
Producer Jacob's mustache got a lot of text messages. 253 says, I can't see your studio camera. However, when I think of a 70s TV character with a mustache, the first one comes to mind is Magnum P.I.
And from area code 425, Jacob's profile equal John Stossel of 2020. Excellent point.
Yes, 253. I love hearing Jacob's laugh in the background, even though it was muffled slightly by his mustache. That's some long hairs coming out the top of his lip.
And on the Trump baby blimp.
Mm-hmm.
From area code 253, apparently the Brits forgot we just celebrated the holiday the other day, commemorating the exact date we stopped giving a crap about what they thought about us.
Yes, and 425, no mention of liberals pouring drinks on people, stealing their hats, and asking those they disagree with to leave their restaurants. Seems like liberals are the ones acting like babies. You lost, get over it, 425.
From Lake Union users from area code 206, it's the yoga practicing paddle boarders you really got to watch out for.
We did forget that in our long litany of people and sweeping generalizations on the lake. Trade War 206, the most dangerous thing about Trump to our enemies is that he is willing to make politically unpopular decisions now for long-term gains. Oh, yeah. And he doesn't care what the media says.
Well, that's true. Parkland donations from area code 360. I think a better use of money donated to the Parkland students would be to start an endowment fund. Paying the students for their trauma seems disgusting.
And more urine texts, of course, can't live without them. 425 says, it's too bad the urine text messages are slowing to a trickle. I had hoped this show had a healthy prostate and the messages would continue pouring in. Well, coal ain't going to shovel itself into my car.
And on ramen, I disagree, Mike. You can tell what flavor the ramen is. It's by the smell.
It says right there on the smell it to know it.
Yeah.
425, actually the beef ramen is the only one that tastes weirder than the others, which is at least preferred among college students.
Among us college students. Yes. So we actually have a college student listener.
Mm.
Area code 206, I lived on both ramen noodles and mac and cheese and cut up hot dogs while in college in the early to mid 1980s. I did as well.
Still alive. Person's still alive.
Yep.
There we are. 253, both Italian herbs and spices used instead of ramen seasoned packets. Is this Lance sending all these recipes?
I don't know, but
the
ramen seasoning packet is sort of the source of the disaster in the ramen. That is not good stuff. Area code 206, John, you should have hid Velveeta under your mattress like I did. It keeps it warmer, so it melts easier in your macaroni and cheese, and no roommates finding it. And then you could also blame all of those stains. Oh, no, that's just Velveeta.
That's right. He's keep all the bacon. Old video of John destroying a hotel room. Paul in Tacoma says, I just watched John's little tantrum on evening. I feel compelled to tell you, John, the table, still wobbly.
And on the dangers of loneliness. From area code 253, what about a pack a day? What about to a pack a day lonely smokers? Are they like extra crazy in trouble? Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. You know, if you add the two together, yes, they are actually in trouble.
Eagle poops. Jim and Elma says, Eagle poop today is a reference to a government check arriving. That has been around for years. John, I guess you and I are old farts and are still with it.
From Erico 206, have you ever received a government check?
No.
All right. From Erico 206, my grandma used to say that every other week. A payday, the
That's
eagle has
right.
pooped.
That's right. Thank you, everybody. All right. Teeny Tiny Lady gets paid today.
Oh, letter of the day is brought to you by Larry in West Seattle. Let's review Mike's week filling in for Tom. The good, a new Cairo record for working urine into scripts. The bad, the explanation of the tour de poop.
Yes.
The ugly, getting Curly to ask bikers to help fuel his bike with his Liberace voice.
Wow, going way back on that. Stick around. Is Dory coming up?
He is indeed.
Out of time. Bye-bye.